Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. There you go. Join us again next week for playoffs week one. No. It is Saturday. It's December 5th.
Damn. I know.
2020.
Flying by.
The year of science.
So-called science. Pseudoscience.
Oh, my God. What a day. So it's week 13. This is it. This is the final week of most seasons in fantasy football as we get ready for the playoffs to start.
Well, except those dumb leagues that play, that have their super, their championship on the last 17. Week.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can't all be smart like us. And I just realized that, as happens every year, when it gets down to the end and it doesn't really matter for me, I start winning games.
That's the way it works.
I've had the same players all season. Why are they winning now?
Yeah.
But I got a couple things. First, we're going to say check out the website, cffpodcast.com. Everything we talk about except these first couple things are going to be up there. All the links to the news and notes, which end up only being actual 4 news stories this week. The rest is going to put one of our longtime listeners and longtime co-hosts into the anger room because we got a bunch of COVID stuff to go over.
You're going to put him on tilt.
so much COVID stuff this week that I had to change the COVID update theme again.
Uh-oh.
You're going to love this one. So there's only actually 4 news articles, and then we have, you know, of course, our sports betting, and I'm going to gloat during that.
Oh, yeah.
And then Fantasy Girl, I spent last night disinfecting the Fantasy Girl page. We got Miley Cyrus off there, and we used another one of your suggestions.
Uh-oh.
This is an old one. I've been waiting for Dan to come back to use, but I don't know when that's going to be in. It's been sitting on my computer for I don't know how long, so I'm like, I'll just throw it in there this week.
There you go.
So. Hopefully,
I'm sure it'll throw me up because I put these in here to throw Dan off. So imagine what that does to me.
So 2 things that you didn't know about before when we were working on the production meeting that we call breakfast.
The degenerate gambling breakfast. Yes.
We have a phone call from some of our listeners that just love to hear his voice. Dan from Hartford.
Oh, okay.
He has a question for you regarding his defenses, so that'll be coming up.
Okay.
And then we have this one, which is also for you, but this is a text message that we got. I'm not going to play the theme. It takes too long. But this comes from a CFFL person, Brad.
Brad.
Panama City Poison Dart Frogs.
My favorite trade partner, Brad.
Yes, well, you're not going to like him today.
No.
Wayne still has 2 players on non-COVID IR, Dak and OBJ.
I have 3 players on IR.
Yeah, but he's saying that you have 2 players on there that aren't COVID. You have Dak and OBJ.
That's probably true. I bet I have open roster spots too, so, yeah, so I'll correct that.
I'm going to see him tomorrow at the podcast. He'll correct that.
Let me explain to Brad why I do that.
Well, first he said, tell him I said to get his act together.
Thanks, Brad.
He gets a grade of F for following directions.
I've always been against the grain, Brad. That's nothing new. I actually put my players on the IR list. So when I'm setting my roster, I don't have to look at all those players. I got so many hurt players. I had Taylor, Swift.
Taylor Dak. Swift?
Taylor Swift.
You had Taylor Swift?
See how I worked that in for you?
Wow.
But I had 2 quarterbacks on IR. I had 3 running backs on COVID and IR. I have 2 receivers on IR. So, yeah, I just move them off. I just didn't move
them
back.
Well, that's what happens when you draft rookies.
Well, sometimes.
They're young and they get hurt and sick.
But we'll see what happens next year. It's all a strategy.
And now for the other one. This is from Dan in Hartford, which he'll tell you at the beginning.
Dan from Hartford again. Quick question on defenses. I have the San Diego Chargers defense, And yes, I will keep calling San Diego. Going against New England, or would you suggest picking up the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs defense, who take on Denver, who I guess now have their quarterback back, but their offense kind of is sputtering. Looking for some input. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.
So there you go. In my quick analysis of that phone call,
or analyzation.
Analyzation. I would say you go with the Chargers against New England because New England's offense, Cam Newton, whew, he had a grand total rushing and passing last week. Wasn't like under 100 yards?
But I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I'll quickly call up our league and so I have verification that I'm not mistaken. Because God knows I don't like to be mistaken. But I believe that the Chargers are not good against the rush.
Okay.
If I'm accurate, and if that's the case.
What about one-ankled quarterbacks that think
well,
they can run?
Well, I guess my thought would be is I don't know that the Chargers Anthony Lynn's a horrible coach.
Right.
Horrible.
But would his defense be worse than the Kansas City defense, which is basically the Green Bay Packers defense in red and yellow?
Well, no, the difference with the Kansas City defense, though, is Kansas City's defense is opportunistic. So they get turnovers, they score defensive scores, and they're also pretty good on, you know, punt and kick returns. And
Denver doesn't really have any running backs, much less the quarterback.
Right.
All right, so you're telling me I'm wrong.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I think they're both good plays. But I think there might be some merit in picking up another. I mean, especially if you have a roster spot that you can use. If you have, you know, Dan always keeps one of those guys that you should never have on your roster because he thinks he's going to break out.
Like a Kenny Stills?
No, more like Chase Edmonds or.
Oh, Chase Edmonds, though.
Chase. He's popped out this year. But, yeah. You know, Dan would have by this time had him on his roster for 5 years for him finally to
But later. I got guys like that too.
Well, you're both wrong. So
I know, but it's, I'm afraid to like get rid of him because here's my thinking, and it's probably Dan's thinking too. As soon as I get rid of them,
right,
they're going to become superstars.
They're never going to
become superstars. That's normally what happens.
They may become good for 1 year. Who's the guy from Washington Redskins? Tall, skinny running back. He popped Matt something. He popped out 1 year. They drafted a whole bunch of running backs, and he was like the last guy they picked.
Okay.
He popped out, was good for like six games, and it was never good again.
Right.
So you get those guys all the time. And I know Dan had the guy from the Rams that a few years back was gonna set the world on fire. He never played. He never did anything. Right. And, right. You know, so yeah, I wouldn't be so worrisome. And defenses. You stream them anyway. So
yeah, you're not really getting that many points from them.
No.
In the Dynasty League.
I mean, if you want the safe play, play the Chargers. If you want the probably higher upside, I'd take the Chiefs.
And speaking of defenses, this is completely off subject, but it's defense. I was floored this weekend. I was listening to some talking heads on fantasy football talking heads type thing.
And they said something smart?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't sound smart because anybody that's watched the Green Bay Packers for the season, their defense hasn't been really spectacular. Once in a while, they had the Green Bay Packers against Philadelphia Eagles listed as the number one defensive play in fantasy football this week.
Do you remember what show that was?
Well, you're not going to watch it.
Exactly. I'll never watch that show.
I'm like, it was on NFL Channel.
Well, I would say this week the Packers would be a boom or bust defense because right. Carson Wentz sucks.
Yes.
So you're playing your guy. But the problem that they're not looking at is that Miles Sanders is really good.
Yes.
And as we all know, those of us that actually watch the Packers, they can't stop anybody. When David Montgomery goes at, runs you over.
Again, that was one play.
But.
That was 90% of his rushing.
At the end of the day, does it count or not?
Yes, it does.
There you go.
Yes, it does.
There you go.
It makes your fantasy numbers look good.
There you go. That's all we care about. We're fantasy owners.
Okay. All right. And with that, we're going to do this now. I also forgot, don't forget to send us emails, cffpodcast@hotmail.com. We'll read them on the air during the time when we are playing phone calls and reading text messages.
And then we'll argue about the answers, and you'll get some information, maybe some humor.
And I'll end up just saying, yeah, okay, I guess I was wrong. But like I said, we only have 4 news items this weekend, so we're going to start with the COVID update, and there's a lot in there. So, Dan, you might want to fast forward right now.
Put it on 1.5.
What was that?
Put it on 1.5. We'll play it faster.
So here's our COVID sports update that we switched for this week because there's so much going on.
It's time to hunker down. It's time to cancel everything. Don't meet up with others outside your household. Don't host a gathering. Don't attend a gathering.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
That's right. There's your Los Angeles mayor, Eric Garcetti, warning everybody that the apocalypse is on. We're shutting everything down. Don't do anything. Be scared. Do this. Don't do that. Meanwhile, I'm going to meet the Austin mayor in Mexico for a vacation. Well, after we eat at a restaurant with the governor of California. Anyways, I digress. It's time for the COVID sports update, everybody. And I hate to say this, but I need to be the one that's going to swing the what the hell is this going on in our country stick, because apparently no one else is willing to swing it. This isn't technically, well, I guess it is technically a COVID sports update because it has to do with a team that made this decision because of COVID people being out. Does that make sense?
It does, somewhat.
But have you heard of Sarah Fuller?
Does not ring a bell.
Well, you should have, because the talking heads have been talking about her for over a week now, and she was going to play again this week.
Oh.
Sarah Fuller.
Yes.
The first woman to play football in a Power 5 conference game. In fact, last week, she was named SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. Now, you might be thinking, wow, SEC Special Teams Player of the Week. She must have done something amazing, right? Right?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, well.
Scoring record? Or?
No. She kicked off to start the second half of the game. That was it. She kicked off to start the second half of the game. The ball didn't go into the end zone for a touchback. In fact, she pooch kicked the ball about 25 yards down the field and then ran off the field. That's it. Your SEC Special Teams Player of the Week kicked a pooch kick to start the second half of the game.
Did she even wear a helmet for that?
She did.
Oh, okay.
She did. But apparently there was nothing else in all the SEC games played last week that was better than that. Now, this is where I get off my grass thing. What? Every sports person, guy, is told no when he says, I'd like to play in the women's tour of this. Or if they would, they'd get told no, correct?
That is correct.
And in high schools now, we're finding out that boys are actually trying to change their gender to girl and then running in track meets and winning all the awards. And who are the first ones to bitch? The girls.
Okay. I was going to say the mothers, but okay.
No, the girls. So why is it okay for them to play guy sports, but we can't play girl sports?
That's a good question.
Okay. I should have probably brought that up to you beforehand. So
could have put my thoughts together.
Anyways, congratulations, Sarah Fuller. She was supposed to play again this weekend. Maybe she would have gotten Offensive Player of the Week this week, too. But, yes, it's a great thing. She's the first female to play, but I thought we weren't supposed to care about that. I thought we're all equal.
Did you know that according to the team rules, she had to be asked to play? She couldn't go and say, hey, I want to be on the team. The team actually physically had to ask her to play. So there had to be something else going on in the background there.
Really?
Well, they didn't do it for you know, no reason. All the publicity, something. There's some reason they
because
did it.
That had to have been it. I mean, Vanderbilt, for Christ's sake.
Right.
But, I mean, there couldn't have been somebody else that could have kicked the ball.
They couldn't have
let the center kick the ball or something.
Was the kicker on COVID? COVID,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's why they canceled their game this week, because they're missing so many guys due to COVID.
Okay.
But, yeah, so that's why they brought in the soccer player from the girls' team to pooch kick. It's like one else on the team could have went in there.
Well, do they not have a boys' soccer team?
Good question.
Because I would assume that I don't mean this derogatorily, I would assume if there's a big forward or somebody like that, they could probably kick the ball into the end zone.
Well, and not only that, but I watch college football every week. They have how many players on the team? They have so many players on the team that
it's
they have
summer.
Players switching jersey numbers so that they can play.
Well, I think
because they have so many repeat numbers.
Yeah, don't they have more players this year that are on the active because of the whole COVID thing? So
they have all these players. You mean tell me there wasn't somebody else, some redshirt freshman, whatever, safety, running back, redshirt lineman, who could have just went out there and kicked the ball and done what she did?
No, you actually told the whole story. She kicked off for the second half. Somebody had to kick off for the first half.
No, not if they got the ball.
Well, they had to kick at some point.
They were shut out.
Well, so they didn't.
This was their only kick.
Oh, this was their only kick in the whole game. So maybe she was the only one. I don't know. Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Special teams player of the week. We got shut out, but you kicked off for the second half, a pooch kick.
Wow. Okay.
All right, here we go. Denver Broncos. They fined the four quarterbacks on their team for violating COVID protocols by not wearing a face mask. Now, if I were the three quarterbacks who never tested positive for COVID in those four, I'd be pissed off right now.
Well, yeah, because they, well, I mean, obviously they broke the rule, but.
Yeah, but they're being treated as if they had COVID.
Right.
And they didn't. Right.
Exactly.
You just decided to sit us down because we were sitting close to the guy that did have COVID.
Right. It's a league rule.
But I mean, they would have been out either way. I get that because the rules, about sitting close. But again, if we're going to follow science, as flimsy as that science is, the science still states that masks, they're not doing anything. I mean, look at Wisconsin; our numbers have never been higher.
Yeah,
and we are in the middle of Governor Evers' mask mandate. But, okay. Anyways, there you go, Dan. I kept that one simple for you. And as if you, when you heard in the COVID update with Eric Garcetti, mayor of Los Angeles, that California is crazy. Yeah. And the fact that Californians don't give a rip about their sports team, especially those that are transplants from other cities. There's a few counties in the state of California that have said, we're going to put the death nail into franchises of sports, and we're going to do it all in the name of protecting people from the flu.
You know, you brought this up, and I'm just going to ask you before you get into the crux of it.
Yeah.
Could these teams, like for example, the 49ers that are being forced to play in Arizona because they won't let them play in California,
yeah,
could they not break their leases with the various cities that they belong to because of their being unduly held out from doing, you know.
I don't know what the hell is going on in California because they're actually talking about doing the same exact thing down in Los Angeles, which would put the Chargers and the Rams in the same situation. But in Los Angeles, they're giving the Raiders or the Rams and the Chargers a special
just compensation.
Yes, to say that you guys could play. I mean, wait.
Yeah, so it works in one part of the state, but not the other.
And rules, aren't rules rules?
Yeah.
Or are we just making this shit up as we go along?
Well, the problem is the NFL has their rules.
Right.
And then California has their own all set, separate set
California rules. Thinks we should just make them their own country.
Yeah.
Get them out of the United freaking States.
Saw right along that fault line and push them off.
Just wait for that big one to happen.
Put a few buoys around them and let them go.
California becomes an island.
I don't think we'd miss them.
So like you said, Santa Clara County has said no contact sports, college, professional, anything. So that, and they're doing that to, you know, curb the numbers of COVID cases. So that's what it is.
Is that particular county higher?
They're all in the purple zone for California, means.
Yeah, I don't even know what the colors mean. So,
well, it's a California thing.
Okay.
So in order to save the numbers of COVID cases in California, those teams are all going to go down and play. The 49ers are going to play in Arizona. Stanford isn't playing at all. They canceled their game. The San Jose Sharks aren't allowed to have practice. They're not allowed to practice at all. So
they're modeling themselves after Toronto.
Exactly.
There you go.
Toronto and New Mexico, University of New Mexico, went to Vegas.
That's what you need, yeah.
Oh. So the question is how does making these teams go and play somewhere else?
How does making these teams travel through other people to go somewhere else where there are other people?
Oh, man.
It makes no sense.
And meanwhile, the NFL is still trying to recap their financial losses from this year and by fining teams in their league for blatant made-up protocols that are as meaningless in the big scheme of things regarding this virus. The Saints.
But they sure as shit won't cancel a game where we have to have a wide receiver playing quarterback. And I know
from
you hate
practice squad.
I know you hate that.
Yeah, because I wanted my running back playing. I went and put Royce Freeman in every league I'm in. I went and picked up Royce Freeman because I thought, oh, he's going to play quarterback. And I'm looking at all the scoring rules. I'm like, okay, there's nothing that says he can't get passing yards. I'm like, all right, I put in Royce Freeman. Yeah, got in 50 yards rushing. That was it. So it didn't hurt me. Yeah, I won all those leagues.
There you go.
The Saints were fined $500,000, and they had a seventh-round pick taken away from them because they dared to celebrate without masks in the locker room after their Week 9 victory over Tampa Bay.
And I want to challenge every single person listening to this podcast, because I noted this last week, because, you know, Dave gives us these updates every week, so I know what's going on.
I care about the people.
And I'm watching the games, and the rule is they're supposed to have a mask on the sidelines unless they're getting ready to go into the game.
Right.
So they show these always every play, they show these random shots of guys standing on the sidelines. And they're all standing there with these things around their necks.
Yes.
Or not on at all.
Right.
Or I'm like, you can just find every team every week.
Speaking of which, did you see, and this is every band, it just happened to be the picture of the Texas A&M band. Did you see the picture where they have all the band members, the ones playing the saxophone or the trumpet or flute or the clarinet, they're all wearing a mask, but they have a hole cut out around the mouth so that they can play their fucking instrument. Like, what is the point?
Oh, my God.
So anyways, the league also found out that the team dared to hold a maskless meeting. The Saints are now listed as repeat offenders.
Oh, boy.
For being repeat offenders and non-followers of these rules, has there been one Saints player that has missed a game due to testing positive for COVID? I'm just asking for a friend.
Yeah, I don't not. I mean,
I don't think so.
I have no idea, but
we lost Drew Brees because of a...
Because of age.
14 broken ribs.
Yeah.
And Michael, collapsed lung.
Michael Thomas.
With his knee.
Yeah. So.
Nothing with COVID, though, right?
I'll have to look into that. Yeah, not that I'm aware of. Oh, and while you're talking, I'll look it up for you.
Okay. Because I got one more convoluted NFL protocol on these that we've been talking about on these podcasts now for the last few weeks. Here is the latest brilliance coming out of the New York skyscraper that houses the brains of the NFL. Effective starting Monday, teams will no longer be allowed to have in-person meetings on Monday or Tuesday following Sunday action. This goes for player and coach meetings, coaches-only meetings, and staff meetings. All meetings must be held virtually. Now, because COVID knows that it should not infect teams playing the next Thursday, you know, that not can infect teams that are playing, you know, that they have to cancel Monday and Tuesday meetings. If you are playing on Thursday, you are allowed to have Monday and Tuesday meetings because the COVID knows and science. And more foolishness with this no in-person stuff during this no in-person meeting deal. Coaches, they're going to be allowed to access the facility to work independently, and players will be permitted to enter the facility for recovery meetings with their doctor people and everything. And tryouts will still be permitted because, again, the benevolent COVID virus knows that it should not infect those activities. I might just have to just stop doing these because every time I do it, I'm like, how can people be so stupid as to think that this is making any sense whatsoever?
Well, you just said it. It's people, and they're stupid.
And then finally, someone please explain to me how it is that the Broncos are forced to play a game even though they don't have any quarterbacks on the roster due to COVID-19 issues. But the NFL moves the Ravens-Steelers game 3 times due to the same COVID problems. Again, I'm asking for a friend. I just want to know because that didn't make any sense to me. And then you hear the NFL trying to explain it that, the Broncos thing was a fault of the players and it wasn't just an accidental infection. I'm still thinking, well, none of the there was one guy on the Broncos that was infected. That was it.
Well, and as far as your thought that the New Orleans didn't have any tests, Emmanuel Sanders did get tested positive.
Okay.
And just came off the list. He was only the second player this year.
On the Saints.
The other one was
the repeat offenders.
Was Dwayne Washington. Okay. And then there's another story here about another player who had another false positive. So they've had false positives, but they've had probably more false positives than they've had
positives.
Yeah.
So 2 positives.
Yeah.
For a team that's just been fined $500,000 and had a draft pick taken away because they're repeat offenders.
Correct.
Masks don't work. And the Saints are proof of it. Julian Edelman placed on the COVID IR list. Brandon Ayuk, he has been activated off the COVID IR list for the 49ers, the Phoenix 49ers. The Colts have activated Jonathan Taylor off the COVID IR list. And the Vikings have activated Adam Thielen off the COVID list. There you go. That's it for your COVID update. Man. Dan, you can start listening again. Now for the injuries. Daniel Jones left the Cardinals game during the third quarter against the Bengals last week with an injured hamstring. He underwent an MRI on Monday, and even though head coach Joe Judge said he was cleared to return to action on Sunday after the injury, they kept him out. And the team is saying that Jones has an outside chance of suiting up for this week's game, but he is out, meaning, is it Colt McCoy?
Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy against the Seahawks this weekend, everybody.
Great
Enjoy
quarterback
that
name.
Matchup.
Great quarterback name, but too bad he's no good.
Yeah, don't expect Daniel Jones to play when you have a Colt McCoy just sitting there waiting. It's kind of like a Joe Flacco, but shorter.
You know, could you see him he gets a touchdown and he pulls out the little six-shooters in his fingers. Bing, bang, 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 bang.
Colt McCoy, I was a Texas Longhorn. Bang, bang, bang. DJ Moore was helped off the field on Sunday with a leg injury that he suffered while reaching for an errant pass from Teddy Bridgewater. How many times have you heard that?
The old errant pass.
When you're a Carolina Panther fan. You had errant passes from Cam Newton. Now it's Teddy Bridgewater. The Panthers are on bye this week, which explains why you haven't heard much more about his injury, and you probably won't hear anything until next week. So tune in again for your week one of the playoffs if you need a DJ Moore. So my next question for you is there trouble brewing in paradise?
There's always trouble brewing.
After another horrible outing by the Buccaneers, everyone is throwing daggers at each other now. Looks like Bruce Arians is the next in line to not want the blame for what is going on. This week after another loss, Arians, when questioned about play calling, said, Tom Brady has been calling the offensive plays for weeks now. Wow.
Wow. So they're not even giving credit to who's the old Marshall or
the quarterback.
Yeah, from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it'll pop in.
Yeah. Now, is that not the best comment you could get from a guy who's supposed to be in charge of his team?
Yeah.
Bruce Arians. Now, if you watched the game this past weekend, did you? People are saying that Tony Romo was doing the dirty work for Tom Brady.
Oh, well, yeah, I know.
Because he was making all those comments about, hey, that looks like an old New England Patriot play. That looks like an old New England Patriot play. And then, well, you can't expect Tom Brady to show up in Tampa after playing for so many years in New England and not bring in some of the plays that he's used to. You can't expect him to learn a new playbook for Tampa Bay. You need to bring in some of his old stuff, and he'll play a lot better. I'm thinking to myself, wait. Brett Favre played how many years with Green Bay? A lot.
15?
Okay. Same playbook, basically. Didn't even know what a nickel defense was.
Yeah. Famously.
I mean, this is a guy that everybody was telling us was a hillbilly, redneck, dumb Southern boy, right?
That's correct.
I mean, even he says that sometimes. Yeah. So he went to New York Jets 2 years?
I think just a year.
Went to New York Jets for a year, learned a new play system.
Yep.
Went to the Vikings for
2 years.
2 years. Yeah. Practically took them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Tell me how Tom Brady isn't smart enough to learn a new playbook if Brett Favre could do it. I thought Brady was supposed to be the GOAT.
Well, I think the bigger problem with Tampa Bay is the Bruce Arians system.
Yes.
And this is always the way it's been. Is the quarterback go back, stand there, wait for guys to run down the field and get open. Well, if your line don't block for you,
yes,
and this has happened everywhere he's gone, his quarterbacks just get killed.
Now, the other thing I find amazing is, when did all this dagger throwing start?
Well, you know, Arians has been pretty vocal since Brady got there.
Right. But, I mean, Brady got all his people that he wanted. He got his Leonard Fournette.
Yep.
He got Gronkowski.
Well, and Bruce has been very adamantly pointing all that out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Got Antonio Brown, who Bruce Arians didn't want.
Exactly. Well, then, but here's the thing. Bruce Arians didn't want him, but then he said it was his idea.
Yeah.
And now he's reversing his course on that, so.
Well, I find it amazing that the main dagger throwing hasn't started until Antonio Brown came in. Huh? And somebody on some podcast somewhere said, this was a cancer, and that cancer is going to metastasize and spread through the team.
Big word.
And look what's happening. The Antonio Brown cancer. You're welcome. The Antonio Brown cancer is there. The Houston Texans learned that Will Fuller will miss the next 6 games due to the use of a banned substance.
We should trade for him.
Now, I don't know if that means 5 games from this season and 1 game next season. Do you know how that works? Because there ain't no way Houston's getting in the playoffs, right?
They said the rest of the season.
So it's what 6 games isn't 6 games.
It's the NFL. You know that.
Yeah.
It goes into the offseason. It's like, we just forgot about that other game. You know?
Yeah.
It'll totally depend on where he signs. Because if he signs with the Raiders or the New England Patriots,
he'll be fine.
He'll get a 6 game.
Okay.
He signs with Dallas or
Tampa Bay.
Philadelphia, Tampa Bay at this point.
Yes.
Then, he served enough time.
Yeah. Early release for good behavior.
Exactly. They commuted his sentence.
Now it makes you wonder, should they have let Kenny Stills go? Because now they have really nobody. Randall Cobb's hurt.
Oh, they were bringing up the names of these guys. They're bringing guys off the practice squad and all these guys that have. There's one guy that's caught one ball this year.
Yeah, so is Kiki QT your number one receiver in Houston?
Number two.
Oh, Brandon Cooks. Yeah, Cooks. I forgot Brandon Cooks is there yet.
Yep.
He hasn't done anything illegal yet.
Yes.
Wow. So unless you have anything else, that's it for me for news and notes.
No, on that.
I
on
told
that,
you, more on, COVID than anything.
On that Houston one, though, they're, I don't know if you've heard the ongoing as they're uncovering this stuff.
Okay.
Like the strength and conditioning coach was, what the hell's his name? He's a linebacker.
Okay.
Came from UCLA. He played with Clay Matthews. He was a known doper then. He got caught. He signed his rookie contract with the Atlanta Falcons, got caught the second year, got suspended. So right. he's known to do this. And now all of a sudden now there's a problem with the team he's with now.
Well, and I'm not accusing anybody.
No, I just
I know Dan's but Dan was always saying that about Clay Matthews. He always made the comment that he thought Clay Matthews was
juicy. Might have been on something. Yeah.
But you know, we're just from what we know, we're not medical people.
Well, when the Packers come out and after they have a horrible loss and they say they didn't have any juice that week, is that what they're talking about?
We didn't get our shipment.
Yeah, they didn't want the coach to stick a needle in them because it could puncture their lungs, so they opted out.
Oh man. So we move to the must starts and don't bothers everybody this week. And as always, we're going to just skip over to pass the obvious starters as we have been all season long. And we've just added another name to the obvious starter list.
Oh, who is it?
Justin Herbert.
Well, there you go.
So with that said, our first must start that isn't an obvious one, Kirk Cousins. He is averaging over 280 yards and almost three touchdowns in his last four games. And those games included one against a good Bears defense and one without number one receiver Adam Thielen. The Vikings go against the Jaguars this week, who are allowing the third highest fantasy points per game to quarterbacks. I also like non-obvious Ryan Tannehill. He's thrown two touchdowns in all but two games this season. And with that, granted, he's only completed 60% of his passes three times this year, and he's averaging only 196 passing yards per game, but that shouldn't matter this weekend against the Browns, who have struggled against quarterbacks. They've allowed 235 passing yards to the gooseneck Mike Glennon, for Christ's sake.
Oh, did you? I just to throw something in there. Did you see the? It's all over the internet right now. There are comparison pictures of Mike Glennon and Matt Ryan.
They're same person.
In the same pose.
You
in the
never
same...
see them in the same place together.
Yeah, exactly.
That like kind of thing. Diana Ross and Michael Jackson.
It's very funny.
So anyways, 235 yards they allowed to Mike Glennon. And that week he was without two of his top three receivers. So that's...
Get out there and pick him up.
Not saying a lot for... Yeah. My other guy this week, Taysom Hill. And much like Justin Herbert, we may need to put Hill in the obvious must-starts each week.
Oh, my God. Did you not watch the game last week? That guy's horrible.
I'm going to admit that sooner or later, teams are going to probably figure out, much like they did with Cam Newton, Mike Vick, Lamar Jackson, and Colin Kaepernick, the Taysom Hill cheat code. But until then... You have to get him in your lineup this week against the Falcons. Yes, they looked good against the Raiders last week, who were playing one of those West Coast teams, goes to the East Coast for an early game.
Ah.
You know, hangover things, but they're still the Falcons, which means the defense is not that good. Sleepers at quarterback for you?
I had Kirk Cousins. That was my...
Really?
Yeah, that was my guy.
Damn. So we move to don't bothers then. My first don't bother this week is Ben Roethlisberger. They just got done playing a game on Wednesday because, well, science. There's bound to be some repercussions from that game and in this game against Washington. On top of that, Washington as a front seven has been playing pretty well. They're holding quarterbacks to less than 17 fantasy points per game on average. And my other don't bother this week, Matt Ryan. The gooseneck, too. Matt Ryan has become way too dependent on Julio Jones, and that is becoming evident now that Julio is missing games due to injury. You also have to decide whether or not to play Ryan against one of the best defenses in the NFL with the Saints. Right?
What happened? Because early in the year, when Julio was out, he and Calvin Ridley were lighting it up.
Yeah, but then didn't Calvin Ridley get hurt too?
Well, he got hurt for a little bit, but he's back. And now it's
Justin Gage?
Well, that's the thing is they say he locks in on Justin Gage. It's like kind of like when Brady used to lock in on Edelman.
Well, you know? And is that maybe now because with Julio out, Calvin Ridley's getting double and triple teamed on the field maybe?
Well, but what I mean, the first half of the year they didn't, you know, the first four or five games.
When Julio was hurt?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
We move to must starts at running backs, everybody. James Robinson for week 13, must start. Doesn't seem to matter what the score is. Jacksonville looks like they want to get Robinson involved every week. And that's going to happen this week against Minnesota, who has floundered against good running backs this season. So unless Minnesota gets a huge lead where Jacksonville can't run, well, they can't throw either, so...
Yeah.
We'll just dump off passes to James Robinson.
Exactly.
My other guy this week, Austin Eckler. He returned from injury, and it doesn't look like he's slowed down at all. He's also a huge part of the Chargers passing game, which means doubling up those points. Consider him a top fantasy play this weekend if you have to. And the other guy who I have never had on the must starts, except for this week, Wayne Gallman.
Stop it.
Wayne Gallman of the New York Giants. He's played very well ever since Saquon went down with his torn up knee. Gallman has scored double-digit fantasy points in five straight games, and he has also scored a touchdown in those five straight games. The Giants play Seattle, who are currently top five in fantasy points allowed to running backs. That's why you get a Wayne Gallman in your lineup. No? You don't agree?
I don't know. It's like pick up Frank Gore, pick up Wayne Gallman, whatever.
Sleepers at running back for you or no? Or were you going to say Wayne Gallman?
Well, I was going to say Wayne Gallman, but then it seemed too obvious.
Wow.
I actually had a guy that I'm keeping an eye on, Devontae Booker with the Raiders.
Yes.
Because if Jacobs doesn't play, he's the guy.
Jacobs is not playing.
Oh, there you go. Bingo.
He is out.
There you go. And then I'd say Cam Akers for the Rams. And Zach Moss with the Bills.
Ooh, you're tearing apart my Devin Singletary some more, aren't you?
I'm just watching the watching the numbers.
And of course, Devin Singletary last week. Actually, did he do well?
He did okay. He did okay.
The week I didn't play him.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Of course. So I put him in this week. So
chasing points.
Yeah, Zach Moss is gonna rock.
I better get him in my lineup.
I should just give everybody the link to to my teams for each week and then just go against the guys that I have in there. Must or don't bother us at running back, everybody. First one this week is Todd Gurley. Sure, he may be returning from his knee injury, but it doesn't matter. I'm not starting him or Ito Smith in this game. The Saints are just too tough on defense. They do not allow any production on the ground. They've given up the fewest fantasy points to running backs this season. And then we go to Melvin Gordon. Wow. What happened to him? Like a cliff he fell off.
He got Le'Veon Belled.
Yeah. Even with Phillip Lindsay out, Gordon may not be a clear starter in fantasy this week. Royce Freeman, my guy, 50 yards last week.
Well, the quarterback you're talking about, though.
The quarterback, Royce Freeman. He's been taking many of the snaps for the Broncos with Lindsay out, and Gordon just doesn't seem to have it anymore after leaving the Chargers. Which brings us to the receivers, everybody. Must starts for me this week, Brandon Cooks, we talked about in Houston. Other than Kiki QT, who doesn't really scare anyone.
No.
Brandon Cooks, your number one guy. With Will Fuller suspended. Brandon Cooks probably, because Randall Cobb, I don't even know what happened to him. Did he just get something banged up or?
I don't know if he's on the IR. He was on an extended. I'm pretty sure I'll look it up as you're right. Talking.
Jarvis Landry of the Cleveland Browns. This is one of those times when I'm going to allow you to chase fantasy points in football. Since it doesn't work for me, maybe it'll work for you. Last week was the second time in the last four games that Landry had 11 targets or more in a game. The Browns are likely to be taken out of their desire to run first when this game gets out of hand, meaning they will have to turn to the passing game, and that will be good news for Landry because the Titans have allowed the fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers. I also like Cooper Kupp. I admit he has not been very productive lately. In fact, he hasn't scored a touchdown in 7 straight games. Henry reminds me of this every week. That he's not showing up. But on the other hand, Cup has a very good history against the Cardinals, and he can't keep up that horrible play forever. Sooner or later, he's got to snap out of it. And that may be this weekend. Don't bothers for me. Marquise Brown. In the last 4 games with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, Brown has averaged just over 4 targets per game and an average of 1.5 catches and 13 yards per game during that time. That, when you're playing fantasy football, is not winning numbers. Right?
That is correct.
And my other don't bother this week, Alan Lazard. Since returning from injury, Lazard has not looked good for the Packers despite being the team's number 2 receiver. It has not turned into big-time production for Lazard. The Eagles have also been very respectable against receivers this season, and Lazard may be actually missing the game this week with more core injury problems from what I just found out. Not good.
Not good.
Tight ends.
Oh, I got to go back to 2 things.
Oh,
receiver.
Yes.
Randall Cobb is on the IR with a toe.
Okay. Turf toe?
Just said toe. Didn't give me any more detail.
Well, we all have toes.
That's exactly right. So they counted. He had 10 of them. It's like, holy shit, we better put him on IR.
He's got that 6th cat toe on his.
Look at that thing. He's a freak. And then my deep sleeper at wide receiver.
That's right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Colin Johnson.
I don't even know who a Colin Johnson is.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
With Chark and Chenault banged up. He got the start last week and put up some numbers. He's a rookie.
Well, yeah. Because I didn't even know who he was.
Those are the only guys you play, the rookies.
We move to tight ends, everybody, into just a couple for this week. TJ Hockenson. Bears have not been good against tight ends all season long. They've given up the 3rd most fantasy points to that position. Hockenson has had double-digit fantasy points in 5 of his 6 last games.
Well, didn't you call a Robert Tonyan as a tight end last week against the Bears?
He got a touchdown, right?
He did get a touchdown.
Him and Mercedes Lewis.
That's correct. They crushed him.
Yes. Oh. There you go. Dallas Goedert, everybody. I'm going to bring you into Goedert. No one has thrown more passes at a tight end position in the NFL as a whole than Carson Wentz. Now, they haven't been completed passes, but they've been passes to a tight end. Goedert has had his fantasy points increase over the last 4 consecutive games, so you might as well get him in here against the Packers defense because sooner or later somebody's going to catch something. Right. Oh,
and if anybody that believes in history got to be worried about the Packers game this week.
The Eagles, 4th and 26.
The Eagles coming off 2 consecutive bad losses, same as last year, and coming to play a team that's seemingly on the rise.
Yes.
As they were last year.
Number 1 fantasy defense this week.
Well, that's right.
According to the NFL channel.
Yes, yeah, so we have nothing to worry about. You know, they actually have the number 1 offense.
Do they?
Yeah. Number 1 offense in the league.
I wonder if that has to do with the quarterback, GOAT.
Or it could be the new coach in the system.
Yes, because they like each other now.
Yeah, they do.
I only have 1 don't bother a tight end for you this week. Logan Thomas. Pay 0 attention to the stat line from Thanksgiving Day. 0. Do not look at that. It was against Dallas.
Ah.
That's why.
Valid.
This week, Thomas goes against the Steelers, who have given up the fewest points in the NFL to the tight end position. And that's why you don't start Logan Thomas this week. And you know what that means. We've won you games with the must-starts and don't-bothers in the news and notes. Now we're going to put some money in your pocket.
There you go.
Because I've been telling you, you need money in your pocket.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that.
I gotta warn you, Clark. They don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
And I know the worst thing to do after you win big is to gloat.
Well, unless you win big.
But I gotta gloat. So if you would have bet, and I'm even going to throw in my college bets, which were horrible. I lost my 6-point teaser and then my round robin out of a possible 26 bets. I only won 4 of them. But then Sunday came along for the NFL. 18 parlay round robin thing I had going. 155 bets. Guess who won every one of those bets?
Dan?
Me.
Oh!
And then I had a 6-point teaser that came in. So if you would have bet every pick I had last week, you would have put down $460 of your own money. But you would have walked home with just over $2,451. And that would have made a nice Christmas for everyone.
That would have.
So, and with that, it also helped out my percentages.
Yes.
My pick percentage right now is 55%.
Through the roof.
That's a win.
Through the roof.
And you've fallen one more point. You're at 39% now.
I don't even worry about it anymore.
Because your college has let you down last week.
Yeah. Well, I've made a move to rectify the problem.
Yeah, I learned that. The new crack gambling game that is round robins.
Well, it's taking two babies that we love, round robins and
spending money.
6-point parlays, and now we're smashing them together and making 6-point round robin parlays.
So I have completely given up the singles game betting.
Yep. So have I.
I haven't done it now for 2 or 3 weeks,
it's,
I think.
It's so much work, and you don't get anything out of it.
It's like eating, it's like going to an all-you-can-eat crab leg thing. Well, you got a lot of work getting that little stringy little bit of meat out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, here I just put $5 down, and I had to watch a whole game and hope they win by 7 points to win $4.50.
Exactly.
So we're going to start with college, and I'm going to start with my 6-point teaser. Because, as they say, the pros never bet teasers in college.
That's right. Glad I don't do that.
But I'm going to just spit in the wind on that one. And I got this one for you. And in fact, I had to change a couple of these games because, well,
COVID.
So I'm going with Texas A&M minus -0.5. It's my teaser points. So pay no attention. I get 6 points to my benefit on these. So we have Texas A&M minus -0.5. I went with the Air Force.
That's an academy. You can't do that.
Air Force minus -4.5. I got Tulane plus +5.5. Nevada minus -0.5. Florida minus -11.5. NC State minus -1.5. And Colorado plus +3.5. So that's a plus +1,000 payoff on a $10 bet. Means I can win $110. So, and then we go to my round robin. Again, we're going to do a 6-team round robin. We're going with a 6, 4, 3, and 2-team parlays in that round robin. So 51 bets at $5 each, $255 output. And we're going to try and win $1,286 on that. And I'm using Texas, and these are all money lines. So I'm using Texas, Kent State, Tulane, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Colorado. And there you go. And I know you have just a parlay or just a round robin on this baby.
That is correct.
Using the money lines, correct?
Correct. So I took Florida Atlantic, BYU, Oklahoma State.
BYU, who is just decided we want to play a game, and since Coastal Carolina had to cancel their game against Liberty because Liberty has missing players, we're going to fly
their nationally televised game.
Yes, we're going to fly to South Carolina, and we're going to go to Myrtle Beach and play on the teal turf of the Chanticleers.
They're not here for just fun, though. They're not here for the beach.
That's right. We're here to win games.
They're here to be serious.
So you got BYU. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I got I'm like flipping back there. Lost my place. I'll find it. Okay, BYU, Oklahoma. Florida Atlantic, yes. BYU, Oklahoma State, UCLA, Boston College, Hawaii, Auburn, and Purdue.
Now you went with an 18 parlay, and you're going to use 8-game parlay, a 4-game parlay round robin, and a 3-game parlay round robin.
Correct.
On those. We don't have the payoffs. Those will be on the website once I get that updated again. The website is updated. Well, I keep thinking that everybody's listening to this live, but they're not. The website's updated. Check out the payoffs.
Well, I am.
check out the updates on there, and you'll be able to figure out what to do. We moved to the pros, and we're going to start with Dan. Dan sent in a 6-point teaser for us.
God bless you, Dan, for buying into the teasers.
He's starting to get a hankering for the crack, too, here. So he's using Indiana +3, Seattle -3.5, Kansas City -8, Minnesota -3.5, and Las Vegas -1.5. And I will just talk about my little NFL, because these are the ones you're going to want, people. This is where the big money is. I am also doing a 6-point teaser. I am using 7 teams. Atlanta +9. Minnesota -3.5. Las Vegas -1.5. Chargers +5. Green Bay -3. Kansas City -8. And Seattle -3.5. Now for my round robin. 6-team round robin using a 6-5-4-3-2 parlay. Again, 57 bets for $285 output there for you. Again, money line winners, picking the Chargers, the Raiders, Green Bay, Buffalo, Atlanta, and Minnesota. Big money on more Christmas presents for you if you
hit on that one again.
If you feel the need. All right. And I know you again, 18 parlay.
Yeah, you're going to have to help me with this one because I kind of jacked this up.
Jack this up. Wayne's parlays go like this, everybody. 18 parlay, money line only, and he's doing an 8-game, a 4-game, and a 8-team, 4-team, 3-team parlays in that round robin. He is taking the Colts, the Atlanta Falcons, the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Arizona Cardinals, New England Patriots, and the San Francisco, I'm sorry, the Arizona 49ers.
That is correct. That smells like money.
And I'm going to tell you right now, his payoff is going to be huge because he's got a lot of underdogs in this one, a lot of plus on the payouts.
I love my underdogs.
So Wayne is going to be the one you're going to want to follow, and hopefully that he made the right picks.
Hopefully me doing this on the fly in the diner didn't cost me in the long run.
I'm just going to throw in another team. So that's it. Again, like I said, everything is on the website, cffpodcast.com, on the sports investing page. You can check it out. And when you're checking it out, just look at the top there. Right below are the pictures of me and Dan on the header, there's the payout windows of what I've wagered so far, $2,500, and my total won so far, just over $4,200. And that they call
it a good number.
Winning. And you are ahead too.
Yep.
A little bit, like $50. Uh-huh. That's
at
enough.
At least I'm not losing money.
Put gas in the car.
That's correct.
And that doesn't even include all my little
all your side bets.
My little, what are they called? Prop bets for the season that are counted in my total wager, but not won.
Yeah, there are two teams out there that they're saying are really good values right now.
For the Super Bowl?
For the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yes, and who they are?
The Baltimore Ravens are like 20 to 1 now.
Oh.
Because of their recent bad luck.
At the beginning of the season, Dan bet on them for +650.
Is that?
That's not as good as what you can get to get them
right
for now.
Yeah, and I think the other one might have been. I don't know if it was Arizona.
Oh, I worry about Arizona.
Well, Murray, if he's not healthy, they're not going to be
healthy, and they're just. It's kind of like the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. They figured him out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, he can't throw a Hail Marys all the time.
It's like Goff.
Yes.
You know if you get in his face. Same with Brady. You get in his face and he's not as good. So
that's right. That's right. So, like we always say, because, except for last week, it's only gambling if you don't know what you're doing. And don't bet any more you can afford to lose, although last week you would have won.
And now you have a lot more you can lose.
Because exactly, because you can bet a lot and still have money in your pocket.
That's right.
If you haven't spent it on Christmas gifts. Which brings us to the part that everybody loves the most, and we've held off for as long as we can, but it's time. Hey. It's time for the Fantasy Girl of the Week, everybody. The thing that everybody loves so much. And in fact, we love it so much that I'm going to fill you in right now on what the plan is for once this crazy season of the NFL is done with. And we start our semi-weekly, would that be it, every other week, podcast episodes?
I never know if that's
bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly or if it's semi, yeah.
So what we're going to do, we're going to get you ready for your March Madness tournament play. And we're going to have a Fantasy Girl of the Year tournament. 64 gorgeous women in different categories. And each 2 weeks, there's going to be a different bracket up there of eight.
Okay.
So there's eight brackets. It's going to take a while to get through this, but we're going to make this worth your while.
Well, in the off season, we have nothing but time.
Nothing but time, but we're going to make this worth your while. We are going to turn this into a contest. Somehow, I'm going to get up on the website a bracket, and you are going to get the chance to fill that bracket out. If someone gets it 100% how it ends up, because at the end of the season, 100%, if you get every pick correct, we're going to send you to dinner with your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whatever it is. We're going to send you
your significant other.
Exactly, because this is 2020.
That's correct.
So we're going to send you to dinner, and that's going to be a nice dinner. You're going to probably not have to pay for anything. It's going to be that nice of a card that we're going to send you. And that doesn't mean you have to get every pick right, because there's going to be prizes for other situations, too, that we're just going to figure out as I get this more cemented in place.
As you start to bracket the brackets.
Right. And the way we're going to figure out who wins is people are going to vote. Each week there's going to be a live survey on the website.
There you go.
Whenever there's a new bracket up there, and you're going to be able to go online and vote for who should move forward. And that will determine the winners.
How many votes do you get per phone?
Well, you get I'm not going to say how to get around this situation, but I think each time you go on a different platform, you can vote. So like if I vote on my computer at home and then I go to work and I vote at work, or if I have two or different three computers at home, you should be able to vote
numerous times
on each one of those.
All right.
So basically, it's like the presidential election in Pennsylvania and Georgia.
So if you're the Russians, you count more than the Americans. Okay.
We'll kick everybody out, and then we'll just haul out suitcases from underneath the table. How about that?
That'll work.
And then that'll determine who wins each matchup. So more on that to come. That was just a little teaser for you.
Oh, can you bet on it?
Well, you can in some jurisdictions.
Ah, okay.
I don't know who's going to give you the payoffs, but... So that's coming up, the Fantasy Girl of the Year contest, everybody. The tournament will be on. But this week, we have our Fantasy Girl of the Week. She will not be in the tournament.
I must admit, I don't recognize her.
Yeah, because it's been a while since you sent me this one. Again, probably since right around COVID started.
Did I happen to mention like where I saw her or what she was?
You didn't. But her name, check her on the website, cffpodcast.com, on the Fantasy Girl page. Inanna Sarkis. Ring a bell?
No, it does not.
She was born May 15th, 1993 in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Inanna Sarkis is an actress and director. Her mother was a Bulgarian surgeon and her father was a dentist. Both of them gave up their careers and immigrated to Canada in hopes of a better future for their children, one being Inanna. Inanna grew up hating her name because the kids in school made fun of her for it. Because
it rhymes with banana?
Inanna. She graduated from Ryerson University with a Bachelor of Arts degree. She was originally going to pursue law, assuming it would please her parents. She is an expert pianist, and Inanna first began taking conservatory piano lessons at the age of 6. She practices yoga and engages daily in meditations to help with her concentration and relaxation. Now, we should do a little quick search as to what TV show she's on, because that's probably where you saw her, right?
More than likely, a movie or a TV show.
Yeah.
So. Does not look familiar.
People are going to hate this at home, but I'm doing this now.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of looks like the gal from FBI, and I'm trying to think of the other show. But she was a contestant a few years ago.
She was on the TV show Bruise Brothers.
No, it doesn't ring a bell. Hmm. Oh, Bruise Brothers. The guys make beer.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I've watched it periodically.
I may have seen it.
I've watched it periodically. I don't recall her. Yeah. Doesn't ring a bell.
That's all I can find on her right now. Oh, wait, here. After we... Seance, Left, Right, Trish and Scott, Bruise Brothers. Yeah. There you go.
Nothing big. Okay.
Nothing huge. And not a circus, though. The Canadian actress, she has hazel eyes and brown hair, dark brown hair, in fact. She stands 5'5". She weighs 123 pounds. And her measurements are?
We'll start in the middle.
Okay.
Now, again, I'm going by what the photos are. So if they're 40 years old, I can't help that.
Well, and the thing is, this is... I don't know. Well, see, because I get all this mixed up. She has a kid. She's apparently married with a child.
Now. Oh.
So, I don't know.
These are definitely pre.
Pre-child, do you think? Yeah.
Well, okay. maybe the two are and the one maybe not. So it depends on when they took the measurements. But we'll go with, 23.
26.
Get out of here.
26.
I'm like, there's no way.
Just tell. It might have been. Maybe it's after.
It's got to be. Okay. All right. Wow. That just completely throws me in the loop. I will go. 26. I'm going to go 37.
That's exactly right. 37.
See if I have the have the correct start.
You want to go for bra size?
No.
34C. And then hips.
Hips. See, this is no, always...
I thought for sure you had gotten a 37 wrong. No, I'm a pro.
I have all Dan's books and tapes at home. I go over those regularly.
You subscribe to his YouTube channel.
That is correct. I get his newsletter. all right, so last one, if we go 37. See, and the problem is she looks like she might be from the... Pan-American.
She's Bulgarian.
Bulgarian.
Yeah, that's Eastern Bloc, right?
Right, which would be thickness, which yeah. She is short.
They get cold there.
So, see, that would... last week I did the junk in the trunk and it didn't work. I was like, you can't see it. So 30... 37... 20...
26.
26... I'm going to go 36.
That's exactly right. 37, 26, 36, 34 C for Inanna Sarkis, your fantasy girl of the week, everybody. And that's it for this week because you know what? This is week 13, which means next week we start the playoffs. Playoffs start in most leagues next week, everybody. Tune in. All your news and notes will be right there for you to get ready for your playoffs and hopefully a championship win. Check out the website. We've been talking about it all day long.
Oh, did we get anybody sending us information about them being in their playoffs?
Not yet. Okay. I'm hoping that comes next week.
Okay.
Hopefully. Get those emails in, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or the fan line, 414-520-8249. Leave us a voicemail like Dan from Hartford. Guillotine. Or a text message. Guillotine League, we are down to the final, let's see here. Where is it?
Should be four. We're
down to the final six.
Six?
No, one, two, three, four. Yeah, down to the final five, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, because there's 6 weeks. How many weeks are left? Six? This is math.
We're in week 13.
13.
So 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 5 weeks.
Yeah, okay, so there's four teams left.
Okay. Well, it should be five because you have one left at the end. Right?
I don't. Again, math.
Did you take week 17 out of it?
I don't know. Okay. There were 17 teams.
Okay, so then there should be.
So we've lost 13.
Should be five left.
Oh, wait, no, we're in week 13. We've lost 12. Yeah, you're right, five. Yep. Okay, then again.
So, yeah, I'm good with math. Even
five
even
minus even four.
Yeah. Multiplied by six.
So we have five teams left in the Guillotine League, and it's getting down there, and there's one team that has money left, and he is using it.
That's a smart way to
go. He just picked up Travis Kelce for $2.08, I believe.
Ooh. There you go.
Yeah. So he picked up Travis Kelce and Darren Waller.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, you can only play one tight end. He goes, yeah, but I wanted to keep other teams from getting them. I'm like, oh.
Smart move.
He says, okay. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah, smart move.
Like, okay. You played this whole thing at the beginning of the season where I don't know how this free agency thing works. How do you do the bidding?
He duped us into believing.
Saved all his money till the end.
Well, here's
a plan for next year. But anyways, we've been rambling here. That's it for this week. Check us out next week. And hopefully you're in your playoffs and we'll be able to help you out with that. So until then, be good.
See ya.